Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, December 2nd, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. This was such a long week. It is 41 degrees and very cloudy here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Google Effect, AI, Memory, Truth, Feeding the Machine, and Our AI Masters. We looked at some pretty disturbing trends that have been happening without our knowledge. As a matter of fact, they've been happening with our input, but without our knowledge, because we don't pay attention anymore, because we only have the attention span of a goldfish. And the reason for that is the Google effect, and that is punching in information into the Oracle, because we know the answer is out there, instead of using our own brains and our own memories to remember them. That is having a very disturbing effect on human memory. It is causing us to forget things and to not be able to pay attention because our mobile devices, soon to be the internet of everything, but I mean, we have our televisions and all of our different distractions, email, social media, Twitter, the Twitterverse, good old Reddit. We get dinged every time. And it releases that dopamine rush that gets you addicted and makes you want more. But all of these technologies, Google being at the forefront, are causing us to not only love the machine, but to need the machine. And to eventually want the machine. Now, how are they going to sell it to us? It'll make us bigger, better, faster. It'll allow us to live forever. They are now going to sell it to us as healthcare. And we looked at a few stories on this over the last few days. Dr. Smartphone from a few days ago. We predicted Dr. Smartphone. Dr. Smartphone is now waiting in a clinic near you for your 2017 health insurance. You need to bring costs down, remember, because now it's off the hook. Now that everybody's got health care through Obamacare or having to pay fines for it, you could get a $30 to $40 doctor visit in the comfort of your own home through your smart device. They've been able to utilize cameras, microphones, and in the not too distant future, we already saw a few of these devices, little types of biosensors that they can connect via a port on your cell phone to be able to do diagnoses. I'm going to look a little more at healthcare today and then kind of get into the brain. As a part of this, we've been looking at the brain as well. Over the last couple weeks, it is very, very important to AI, because what they are doing is they are copying nature. They are doing brain scans and learning how all of those synapses work together and what kind of groups fire together and interact to create certain emotions and certain reactions and certain chemicals to be released within the body. And as they crack all these mysteries of human biology, specifically the brain and its control mechanisms, they will be able to manipulate and control us physically. But not only that, they are also working, taking everything they've learned and reproducing a synthetic human. You know, they're working on all these AI projects that they are mimicking the brain over. We saw one the other day about making robots feel emotions, and they were literally mimicking how our hormonal and our endocrine system works to be able to produce chemicals and emotions and different survival functions within our body. And they were reproducing this within a robotic device. I think that one was out of Japan. So this is out of Huffington Post. How will your smartphone radically change your healthcare? Have you ever wondered why doctors and hospitals own your medical records? You pay for the visits, the labs, the scans, the hospitals, but you have no product to show for it. and getting a hold of your data about your body is often exceedingly difficult. And I'll tell you, I ran into that, actually. I've mentioned before on the show, the many years that I suffered through autoimmune disease and the slow progression that it took to get me to where I was in really bad shape at one point. And it took a lot for me to bounce back, but to get my hands on those records and those blood tests and those scans and all that crap that they did took almost an act of God. And I didn't have a doctor that I was sending them to. I wanted them all for myself so I could look through my records and I could try to find a pattern or a reason that this was all happening to me. I had given up on my belief that the medical establishment was going to be able to quote-unquote cure me, because they couldn't. They had given me all kinds of incorrect diagnoses over the years and made me a guinea pig multiple times over, taking all these crazy drugs and things that made me very sick and caused more problems than they were worth. And it didn't fix anything. So trying to get my hands on my data from all these different doctors I had seen was quite the battle. And even if they were going to give it to you, they charged you through the nose to make copies. And especially if you had a file that was quite extensive, it could cost you a few hundred dollars for them to photocopy all those pages. So just be aware of that. So I'm going to agree with that statement in the story. Getting a hold of your data about your body is often exceedingly difficult. The good news, ding, this tight clench on your medical information is about to be released. Well, yeah, and there's a good reason for it, because they realized that with medical health records and the databasing, big data, artificial intelligence, smartphones, 23andMe, biometrics, and your online dossier, it would be much, much, much more profitable to make this stuff available as software as a service by using it to build intelligence. Build you a dashboard, because the next step of this is nanobots in your blood. We read a story yesterday, the day before, how, yes, just like we predicted, they want to create monitoring centers just like we have right now for networks. They call them NOCs. We've talked about that before, network operation centers. And we had one of those at the place I worked for many years as an engineer. And what we did was sold network monitoring as a service to our customers, whose networks we installed. It could be a phone network. It could be a data network. It could be your antivirus infrastructure and your patches that we were monitoring. Put probes on everything. And it feeds you back data. And then it puts it into a database and it gives you charts. Well, that is about the very same thing that they are talking about doing with us humans. Right now, if they release our records, they will be able to make some rudimentary baselines about you, take a look at your history and that type of information. But the next step is going to be real-time monitoring. It's going to start with our smartphones, as we are going to read about now. But it is going to migrate into the induction of probes, i.e. some sort of little nanobody thing, or maybe even a smart tattoo, like Regina Duggan, formerly of DARPA, who moved to Google, who is now in the Moonshots division of Facebook. It talked about it could be our little token, a little token that can scan us. They could at least get your heart rate, maybe garner some information from perspiration on your skin, tell what kind of activity level you keep up on a daily basis, as well as your sleeping habits. Maybe even GPS location, tell where you're going. And then collate that data with other things such as your shopper's cards, your cell phone, phone calls, your social media, your emails that you send. And they'd be able to get a pretty clear picture as to your daily habits, how active you are, and how healthy, potentially, statistically speaking, you probably will be. But once they decide that it is going to be a requirement to receive health care, let's keep the cost down, Johnny, that you get one of these slightly invasive but not implantable, swallow this little pill device, to be able to monitor 24/7, just like a gauge on a car. They talked about that as well. We read there were like five stories at one time that all came out right around the same time. They all have been talking about the same sorts of technology, and that was the smart pill, if I am not mistaken. And they had all used the very exact same wording about that technology. And I just lost it. I had it in my head. And I looked at something else and boop, it was gone. But I remember that very distinctly because it was like they were reading. Oh, it was about the dashboards, about being able to read real-time data about your body, just like a car. Just like how we know when something is going wrong long before because your temperature gauge is going up. We are going to be monitored like vehicles with dashboards. All right, anyway, the good news, this tight clench of your medical information is about to be released, and that is because you will be generating quite a bit of your medical information via your little mobile devices. Ding, ding. The remarkable impact that smartphones have had on our everyday lives is currently now being extended to your healthcare. This range of data that can be captured and processed via your smartphone is mind-blowing. Guys, I mean, anyone who's been listening to this show for a while knows we were talking about this like way, way, way long ago. We were reading stories coming out of MIT Technology Review and Phys.org about all these creations, mad science creations they were coming up with in the lab back already 3-4 years ago that we already saw. So these biosensors that at some point we're all going to be miniaturized or accessorized and added to our smart devices. Well, it's happened. 2017 is going to be the year. And Obama said as he was outgoing, as he laid all the groundwork for this, his Obamacare plan, his AI is going to rule the nation for the next leader speech, his lecture. I don't know, whatever they released that future of AI out of the White House. And all these big data edicts and executive orders that he signed. He signed something, too, about not too long ago, a couple weeks back in November. I think it was the beginning of November. There was an executive order about monitoring and controlling disease outbreaks around the world as a part of national security. And don't think that that isn't how this is being spun. Remember, DARPA has been in the middle of all this from the very beginning. And they have funded a lot of the beginnings of all this research in the name of keeping soldiers safe in the battlefield. And now they have declared a lot of these technologies as weapons of mass destruction. They have democratized them across the planet. We have little Johnny Joe Boy gene editing in mommy's back bedroom. And, you know, hackers under every bed. This isn't going to be good, and they're going to use this now to swoop down on us. Of course, keep the cost down. It's all going to be about controlling the population down to a cellular level. So anyway, the range of data that can be captured and processed via your smartphone is absolutely mind-blowing. This includes input from sensors such as blood pressure, glucose, oxygen concentrations in the blood, heart rhythms, lung function, and mood. Remember the mood? We looked at that. They can already determine what kind of mood you have and whether or not you have mental illness through your voice patterns. And I ran a search yesterday, and I came up with an amazing number of hits when I just used the right keywords on Google. Anyway, virtually all the routines labs can be quickly assayed from a droplet of blood and from a finger stick. It is now feasible to get your results from various blood chemistries, electrolytes, liver, kidney, thyroid function tests, and blood counts. And this is all on your cell phone, people. And using a simple smartphone attachment, you can now perform much of the physical exam yourself, including your eardrums, and we read about that the other day, especially for a child with a possible infection, skin, throat and oral cavity, as well as lung and heart. And it is not just about what's inside of you. It's about your environment as well. There are smartphone sensors to quantify your radiation exposure, as well as the pesticides in your food and the quality of the air that you are breathing. And while this may seem daunting to many, there's more help to interpret all this data than you could ever imagine. Computer software algorithms, ding ding, embedded in your smartphone apps, can analyze the medical data that you generate. This is going to be like the tricorder, no lie. Or the more likely the data is remotely processed via cloud computing, also a ding ding. And the more you feed it, the smarter it gets, remember? That can also incorporate medical machine learning about your data. And like I said, learning in the cloud, all with AI. This is going to be Dr. Smartphone. I think that's what they should call it, actually. I should trademark that name pretty quick. I made that up. With this, your phone could warn you that your heart or lungs are beginning to malfunction well before you start to have symptoms. Remember, that's your dashboard, just like the car. Your phone could warn you that your heart or lungs are beginning to malfunction. And there is even the potential link of your smartphone data now to a supercomputer that instantly accesses all of the world's medical literature. Think about this, guys. This triad of you, your medicalized smartphone, and immense computing power is setting up a formidable force to change how healthcare can be rendered. And for those who want to capitalize, ding, ding, I talked about that too, on this opportunity. It is here now and will be increasingly available wherever there is a mobile signal. I'm telling you guys, talking about capitalization, any of this technology is going to go off the charts on the stock market. And like I said, we are selling out humanity by investing in this. But the unfortunate part of the matter is I think the train already left the station about, I don't know, quite a number of years ago. And it is speeding full steam ahead now. Changing of the guards. We tried to discover once this selection happened what that was going to mean for mad science. And we discovered very quickly is biotech stocks were going through the roof. That no, the train was not going to be derailed. It was full steam ahead and all the tech billionaires are fully invested. Just a month ago, there was a report of a study in Rwanda. And remember, we talked about Rwanda and our little fun, love-to-hate petri dish of Africa, where they've been doing a lot of this experimentation for a very long time. And, of course, then they test out these mobile applications on the poor people in the African villages with Ebola or HIV. See how well they work before they release them to us. And the study in Rwanda was using a smartphone attachment to accurately diagnose what? Oh, HIV and syphilis in less than 15 minutes for just pennies. This concept of having a, quote, pathologist in your pocket. Now, that would be another good trademark name to rapidly make the diagnosis of almost any infection may seem foreign. Now, we read about this DARPA project way back, where they were doing remote biosensing. I don't remember the name of the operation that they were working on, but look it up. I'll find it later when I do the notes. They were already doing this way back. So it seems as if now they've sprinkled the funding out. They had our children working in university labs created for them. And now they've spun it out to commercially make it available. It's going to make bazillions of dollars, guys. Bazillions and bazillions. And it's going to put doctors out of jobs. Another white-collar profession that people have hundreds of thousands of dollars of loans to pay off for going to college. It's really going to turn the world upside down on its head. But this is just one example of how the portability of a little device is bringing advanced medical technology to the hinterlands of the earth. Notably, all of this data flowing into your smartphone is a challenge to the autonomy of the medical profession. And remember, we heard that same exact statement echoed when they did an interview with the lead oncology director, whatever he was, at one of the hospitals that, one of the 20 hospitals that IBM's Watson is now running the cancer diagnosis back end. And that oncology director had said, it's just amazing because we can't possibly keep up with all the papers and all the studies being done. And because of that, they had a large number of patients where there was a diagnosis or a treatment potential that had been missed that Watson found after the fact. Well, it's going to happen across the board. Notably, all this data flowing into your smartphone is a challenge to the autonomy of the medical profession, which has deep paternalistic roots that trace well back to before Hippocrates, and that was pre-400 BC. And all this data, so of course the medical profession is so antiquated. And remember, Bones on Star Trek used to say, the heathens of the 20th century, the way they perform medicine. Well, we might be there, people. All of this data that was previously unobtainable by you, now being captured in the context of your daily life, ding, 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 that's exactly what I was saying, is more than empowering. Yeah. Give it all up to the machine, people. I mean, that's what they're saying. You have to give it up for your health. You have to give it up. This is the way we're going to do healthcare. Johnny, if you don't want to get that injection, buddy, you're going to be living on the outskirts as a potential pathogen carrier yourself. But now it is being captured in the context of your daily life and is more than empowering. And this new bottom-up medicine, just like we heard Eric Drexler, father of nanotechnology, talking about bottom-up manufacturing, they're already working on that, manufacturing at an atomic scale. Forever will change the patient-doctor relationship to a partnership on equal footing. Oh, the doctor's ego's not going to like that. Doctors will now be asking you for access to all of the data that you are generating. Well, we better revise some of those HIPAA laws, those pesky HIPAA laws that Obama called out after the Sandy Hook shooting in his 37, or whatever there were, executive actions. Guess what, guys? I bet somewhere in here they will even be able to have a remote biosensor to tell whether or not gunpowder's been fired. They have that at the airport already. They do it with that millimeter wave. I was already a victim of that. I think I was going on my trip to New Mexico back a few years ago, and as I walked through, bzzzt, on my coat, they had detected a substance that could potentially be gunpowder. I got a double groping from Maud and her sister in a back room. And you know, it ended up, they said, well, you know, it could actually be from hydrocarbons, from you just pumping gas, but we just wanted to be sure and give you a good grope. You know, I mean, come on. So that technology's already there. We looked at millimeter wave again, more DARPA projects. They have given millimeter wave, a millimeter wave scanner, at least one. Because one of the NYPD police chiefs had been on some news show talking about it after Stop and Frisk it had been ruled unconstitutional. And he had gotten his hands on a DARPA millimeter wave scanner that can, at a distance, do atomic level substance scanning and determine what substances are present on a surface, including your lips, right? We looked at that scanner in the airports. They could tell whether or not you had an Egg McMuffin for breakfast. Anyway, back to this doctor's smartphone. The doctor may have hospital and office note records, which you ought to have full access to and actually own. But you will have much more rich, real-time, ding, streaming, granular data about yourself 24/7. Along with smart machines, yes, AI, capable of making many different diagnoses and providing exquisite, listen to the wording of this bullshit, exquisite monitoring equivalent to an intensive care unit when needed. Guys, if that wasn't an elevator pitch for stepping up and getting your smartphone right up your ass. I don't know what is. Oh, my God. Don't do it, people. They are trapping us. They're boxing us into a corner. And they're saying, Johnny, it's Ray Kurzweil with the phone in your face. Johnny, it's time to take your medicine. This is beyond frightening. To me, I think medical tyranny is one of those deep, dark nightmares that I've always had. And this literally is Mengele on steroids. And he is right in our face. And he is the face of Ray Kurzweil looking 30 years younger. And we saw something. I put it into chat before the show, but there was a story. Oh, where did I put it? Here it is. There was a story that I ran across in one of my feeds that I get my Google alerts. I told you guys how to do that yesterday. Google.com/alerts. And you can plug in any word term and give it your email address. And anytime anything arrives on the web, post to a website, they will scrape it and put it into an email digest and send it to you. And Ray Kurzweil is one of those that I search. So there was, usually it's just about keyboards, and I'll get like Craigslist listings for people selling their Kurzweil keyboards. But I did get something for Ray Kurzweil yesterday, and it really kind of shocked me, because when I opened it, there's a big picture, a recent picture of Ray Kurzweil at the top of the page. And I swear to God, I mean, we found out the other day in reading a story about him, he is now 67 years old. The man looks like he can't be a day over 40, at least in this picture, maybe even younger. I mean, maybe he's got a little tiny bit of gray. It could be some good Grecian formula. Maybe even he could be like 38 or so in this picture, but he's 67. So whatever Ray's doing, and you know he's all about merging with the machine, transhumanism, longevity medicine, and that Google is all working on that as part of their Verily division. Of course, Ray Kurzweil was dubbed the head of engineering and working on all the artificial intelligence that is behind a lot of these medical record, doctor, smartphone applications, potentially. But let's read this, because this picture of Ray really kind of freaked me out. I mean, who knows what he's doing? I kind of joked that maybe he was also getting some baby's blood, because we've read that story, many stories about that parabiosis. That, what's his name? The tech billionaire that was backing Trump. It escapes me right now, but he started investing in this parabiosis now. But that research has been going on for quite a long time now, a few hundred years at least, and who knows how much longer behind closed doors. So anyway, this is an evening with Ray Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil is going to be speaking at Pomona College on February 7th of 2017. I'm not quite sure where Pomona College is. It's California. I don't know. We'll have to look that up. But I'll put this in the notes. So if anyone's near Pomona College and wants to go see Ray Kurzweil, it might be an interesting evening. Anyway, let's read this. The onset of the 21st century will be an era in which the very nature of what it means to be human, ding, 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 will be both enriched and challenged as our species breaks the shackles of its genetic legacy and achieves inconceivable heights of intelligence, material progress, and longevity. Guys, everything we've been saying, everything we've been digging up, even the craziest thing we've talked about here to date, and I don't even know if I could pick one because there's been so many. All of the postulations we've made and the dots we've connected and the potential future dystopia we've seen, well, I hate to tell you, but it's all going to come true. Ray Kurzweil is one of the scary few that is steering the ship. The paradigm shift rate, and that is this law of exponential returns, is now doubling every decade. So the 21st century will see 20,000 years of progress at the rate we're moving at today. So, guys, they're saying just in 100 years of this century, we will see 20,000 years of progress. We will be uploaded. It won't even be heads in a jar like Futurama in a room. We're going to be digital little flash cards somewhere living in the cloud that anyone can download for $29.95 a month as part of their new sex bot. I mean, how scary! And maybe you could even have a big family pot of gold that you could, you know, earn money that you could pass down to your digital progeny by offering your digital image, your digital imprint for use or sale online for different things. Maybe you have some skills, some learning skills, or a field of specialty that someone wants to use as a part of their research. Someone wants to use as part of their sick, I don't even know. I mean, I can't even postulate where this is going to be 100 years from now. We're going to move 20,000 years into the future of progress. How can you even calculate? I mean, talk about long-term thinking, guys. I told you, you know, executive management, that's one thing that they really look for in somebody. Being able to see short-term, medium-term, and long-range. And I mean, from a business perspective, we are looking at, you know, 30, 60, 90 days, then out a year, 5 years, then 10 years, maybe even 20. But 20 is pretty long-term in business. You really can't predict out that far. So doing a 20,000-year prediction is, at the rate we're moving right now with technology, we can't even conceive where we're going to be by 2100. And we saw that one story, and maybe we'll get back to that. I don't know. I have a lot to go through today. But if we get there, maybe next week, we still have probably 8 more crazy technologies that are going to be here by the year 2100. So let's get back to this Pomona College story about Ray Kurzweil and our future in regards to his speech he's giving. So this paradigm shift rate is now doubling every decade. So the 21st century, we'll see 20,000 years of progress at today's rate. Computation, communication, biological technologies, for example, DNA sequencing, ding, brain scanning, knowledge of the human brain, and human knowledge in general are all accelerating at an even faster pace. Yeah, remember, faster than we ever imagined. Generally doubling price performance, which of course is good for investors, capacity and bandwidth every single year. Three-dimensional molecular computing will provide the hardware for human-level strong AI well before the year 2030. And the more important software insights will be gained in part from what? Oh, yes, reverse engineering the human brain. Like I've been telling you, that's exactly what they're doing. It's why they're doing it. It's to be able to copy, replicate, and make it better than humans in AI. And this reverse engineering of the human brain is a process already well underway. Ding, ding. But hey, don't worry about that. Just like Jules talks about, while the social and philosophical ramifications of these changes are absolute lunacy, but they say will be profound, the threat that they pose is considerable and celebrated or very scary. Profound, I mean, celebrated and very scary future as Ray Kurzweil presents an inspiring vision, and that's what they say, or dystopian, of our ultimate destiny in which we will merge with our machines. Ding, da, 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 ding. And we can live forever. Ding, da, 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 ding. And we will be billions of times more intelligent, ding, ding, all within the next 3 to 4 decades. People, if that isn't the writing on the wall, I don't know what is. Every single thing that I have said, lunacy, you guys have all rolled your eyes. All your friends and family have said, what? No. Guys, it's all 100% absolutely true, and it is coming to a smartphone near you. Soon to be implantable. Ray Kurzweil is one of the world's leading inventors, thinkers, and futurists with a 30-year track record of accurate predictions, called the Restless Genius by the Wall Street Journal and the Ultimate Thinking Machine by Forbes magazine. Kurzweil was selected as one of the top entrepreneurs by Inc. magazine, which describes him as the, quote, rightful heir to Thomas Edison. PBS selected him as one of the 16 revolutionaries who made America. I'm not saying smart. Kurzweil's not a smart cookie, but Kurzweil is also a bit of a mad lunatic. Kurzweil is a mad scientist by definition. He's got some creepy undercurrent, mad science-y things too. He's talked about. I'm not going to get into those today. But he's got some strange ideas. He's got reasons for wanting to be able to make himself immortal and be able to reconstruct people in the machine. He wants to go after his father, and he wants to be Pomona, and he wants to do all kinds of things that aren't necessarily, like I said, in the best interest of your or my children. Kurzweil was the principal inventor of the first flatbed scanner, and I've talked about that, optical character recognition, the first OmniFont OCR, and the first print-to-speech reading machine for the blind, the first text-to-speech synthesizer, the first music synthesizer capable of recreating the grand piano, as well as other orchestral instruments, and as well, the very first commercially marketed large vocabulary speech recognition. Ding, ding. So he's been working on that natural language processing for decades, which really was where artificial intelligence and this whole learning on its own began. Among Kurzweil's many honors, he received the 2015 Technical Grammy Award for Outstanding Achievements in the Field of Music Technology. He is also the recipient of the National Medal of Technology and was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame. He holds 21 honorary doctorates, as well as honors from 3 U.S. presidents, and he has written 5 national best-selling books, including New York Times bestseller, The Singularity is Near, and How to Create a Mind. And I would recommend, if anyone wants to get into the brain of Ray Kurzweil, you get both those books on your Christmas list. I think I might actually buy both of them. I mean, I kind of understand his whole gist. I've been following Kurzweil very closely for a very long time. But I think that those might be necessities, and then supplement them with another reading of Brave New World in 1984. I think it'll give you a good indication as to everything you need to know about our future. Kurzweil is also the co-founder and chancellor of Singularity University, and we found out that Eddie is co-founder of Singularity University with Larry Page from Google. And Kurzweil's very first real job where he was hired is now currently as the director of engineering at Google, heading up a team developing machine intelligence as well as natural language understanding. So guys, that pretty much lays it all out for you. All you need to know about where our future is going to go. So anyway, let's finish getting back to Dr. Smartphone. So this new found an ambition of medical information parity both around the world and between doctors and patients. And guys, this is why they want to get that 5G internet in the sky to the continent of Africa and any other unserviced location on the planet, because everybody's got a smartphone. They want to get you all onto Facebook And get your doctor's smartphone, and we'll give it to you for free if you're low income. I will guarantee you that will be coming as well. Supplemented healthcare gets cheaper every year. But there is another dimension to what? Oh, the democratization. Here's that term again, of medicine. So now we're democratizing medicine that was here for too inconceivable. It's the creation of a worldwide health information resource. And that would explain Obama's health executive order back in November. You know, let's look that up because I want to read the title. Executive order. Maybe it'll do the very first one. Yes, coordinating efforts. No, this is the space one. It came after the space one. It was for health. Health. Ha ha, here we go. Here we go. Advancing the global health security agenda to achieve a world safe and secure from infectious disease threats. Executive Order, November 4th, 2016, from the White House for immediate release. By the authority invested in me as president by the Constitution and laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered as follows. As articulated in the national strategy for countering those democratized biological threats and implemented in the Presidential Policy Directive 2, more affectionately known as PPD-2, promoting global health security is a core tenet of our national strategy for countering biological threats. And remember, Clapper came out in front of the Armed Services Committee back a few months ago, and it deemed how CRISPR gene editing and Johnny in the back bedroom or jihad in the desert creating these new biological organisms with their DIY gene editing kit could be the next biological arms race, and they declared CRISPRing a WMD. Well, right on the heels of that, we had Obama announcing his executive order to advance the global health security agenda, and even called it that in the title. And now we get Dr. Smartphone rolling out all stops, coming to every health insurance plan near you. And we're hearing right now out of globalist publication, Huffington Post, that this is going to be done on a global scale. Remember, we read all about this global internet, all those little CubeSats being launched everywhere in the upper atmosphere, being able to provide 5G to not only cell phones, this high speed, eventually they're hoping terabit per second internet. This is going to be for the full autonomization of the internet of everything that is coming. You will be on that internet of everything all through monitoring your health. I don't know. Can we keep going on that executive order? Do we go back to Dr. Smartphone? Let's go back to Dr. Smartphone. So we already know that Obama has declared this national security agenda. And we just find out that, yes, our medicine is now going to be global in the cloud, run against some machine algorithms, being able to give us real-time personalized medicine for free just about. We found out that Kurzweil is all behind it. And he's working on all the technologies that are going to get us to this point for Google. So anyway, this another dimension to the democratization of medicine that was here for too inconceivable was the creation of a worldwide health information resource. And we are not talking about you Googling your symptoms or side effects of a medication. Oh, no. Instead, this is going to be the potential of something, the scale of Facebook, with billions of people across the globe included. medicinally rather than socially oriented. And I'm going to even take that a step further. It's going to be social medicine. It's what they're going to call it. This is going to be the All of Us program at National Institute of Health 23andMe. Step right up and give your DNA swab to the nth degree. This is going to be step right up and give your real-time data, all your bodily health data, to the machine to be able to run real-time diagnoses. They'll be able to see in an area if the large majority of people start suffering a fever, start suffering white blood cell count raises. They could see real-time pandemics spread in their network operations center for health. It says this same principle of open medicine can be applied broadly across all conditions, well beyond even cancer. It says with cancer, it's important to emphasize that as every individual is biologically unique, including even identical twins, every case of cancer is different. If you had a tumor, it has to be sequenced to determine the biological pathways that are responsible for driving it. But now, with your doctor's smartphone, you and your doctor can find your nearest neighbors, the individuals in the database who already match closest to your every feature of your illness, including your DNA cancer sequence. And you could then learn from your closest matches in the database what treatments were used and who was successful as well as who wasn't. And that's pretty interesting, I guess, I would have to say. But that is a dangling carrot to get you to step right up and put your data in there as well. Check that box, Johnny. Become a part of the collective of the AI Borg Hive. Instead of valuable individual information that is now sequestered and wasted, this giving it all up to the machine could be used to help one another fully inform optimal treatments and even prevention. And much, if not all, of this potential progress depends on our ability to protect the privacy, of course, of each individual's data. And while the vast majority of people are willing, and remember, that's been ingrained into us over the last few generations of not having privacy anymore. Kids today will take pictures of everything, talk about everything and anything, and put shit online that should never be there. But that was intentional. So the vast majority of people are already willing to share their medical information because it's all in the name of helping others. And they've studied that psychologically. I've seen studies of that already where they have given people money in a lab setting and said, you know, you'll be helping this one or you'll be giving it to this one for doing something else. And if people felt that it was some sort of philanthropic reason that they would be giving away money and that there would be some then good feeling or something coming back to them that they would gain from it, they are way more apt to donate to something. So give it all up to the machine and it could cure you in the future is the way they're going to sell this now. And I mean, I think it's true. If they could do it some way completely 100% anonymously, people might be more apt, but I don't trust that they would ever be anonymous. If that information was out there, maybe they should have some sort of like Cloudflare in front of your IP. Always switching your number. So when you upload it or go through Tor, when you upload your data, it's always done through some sort of moving, hidden onion type protection. I don't know. But again, like I've said, double-edged sword. Once they learn all the secrets, they can always be used against you as well. They will find the chinks in the armor. They'll be able to take down a large number of people with the smallest amount of effort. And if an AI went rogue, if it started to learn more than us and went all crazy on us, we'd have a real problem. They would have all the secrets to killing all humans. Anyway, while the vast majority of people are willing to share their medical information to help others, that is with the assurance that it will be kept anonymized, like I said, And although there have been recent outcries that privacy is dead from people like me in the digital era, the data brokering in our Google searches, as well as our Amazon purchases, is altogether different from the medical data that is being sold or hacked. And if we are to actualize this new medicine, divisive safeguards and actions will be needed. Today, via your smartphone, without the need for a doctor, you can also, and we read about this, have a skin rash or a lesion. Oh, that's gross. Wash that smartphone after. Immediately diagnosed. Your eyes can also be refracted, your health rhythm determined. And you can find out whether your child has an ear infection, as well as determine whether or not you have mental illness. We saw that in another story. And instead of waiting weeks for an appointment, you can visit your doctor through your mobile device and not just chat, but also exchange data. And what is in store for the future of healthcare is far-reaching as the wireless internet. So there we go. We also found out Google's AI can read retinas now to prevent blindness in diabetics. I saw another story that came out the other day, and we read about Under Armour partnering with IBM's Watson to be able to provide biometrics and biosensors in athletic underwear and sneakers. We read about that as well. Well, now there's a company called Siren Care that makes a smart sock to track diabetics' health as well. Diabetics seem to be all the focus recently. Diabetic health tracking startup Siren Care has created smart socks that use temperature sensors to detect inflammation and therefore injury real time for diabetics. Co-founder Ran Ma was looking on growing biomass to grow back skin that had been damaged while at Northwestern University when she started learning how to treat diabetic feet and thought of making a wearable. And we talked about wearables, that spider dress and that Intel Edison Atom processor that has the ability to detect its environment with biosensors. That processor is being used in a lot of things now. She had this thought of making a wearable that could track and prevent injuries. Remember, wearable computing is something that they were working on at DARPA and Google. And this is the next generation of our smart devices, is to integrate it into our everyday lives. Both type 1 and type 2 diabetes patients are prone to foot swelling, among other foot issues, and it can lead to some serious problems such as infection or amputation of a foot or your toes if not checked. Early detection is crucial to head off any serious complications, and Monitor co-founder believe they build sensors, and that is the key. These Siren socks are not the first wearable aimed at detection of diabetic foot injury. Surosense RX is also a wireless shoe insert for diabetics, and the Pressure Guardian from Tilages Technologies is a boot designed to detect these issues as well. Siren's co-founder has bigger plans than just temperature detection. Our Siren smart textile technology, so they're going to be able to put this into clothing, is able to incorporate a number of sensors and electronics. Remember, they can make electronics into threads now. They are working on that in a partnership between Google and Levi's. We read about that a long time ago, where they are able to incorporate sensors, electronics, including moisture sensors, pressure sensors, light sensors, LEDs, RFIDs, MCUs, BLEs, etc., seamlessly into fabric. This means the future the company could take to make other smart textiles that detect injury in other parts of the body as well. All right, and I think we're going to end this up. Population healthier, ding ding, population healthier is all the rage. Stanford intelligence researchers, artificial intelligence is ripe for healthcare. Instead of envisioning AI outpacing humanity as we know it, researchers now spot prime opportunities for clinical decision support, patient monitoring, surgery, and more. When it comes to AI, forget the scary movies. Yeah, people, don't be afraid at all. Forget the scary movies about rebellious robots. Or Jules' dire warnings of a dystopian world, disconnected humanity imagined by some popular writers. AI promises. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Rather, to change our lives in profound ways we are just beginning to experience, according to a groundbreaking survey produced by Stanford University. Yeah, just the place that you should be trusting to craft the future story to sell you. Guys, yes, don't be afraid, little mousy. Step into the green plexiglass, have a heart trap, and we will cure what ails you, little mousy. Oh my God. Stanford is taking the long view of AI with a project called 100 Study on Artificial Intelligence, more affectionately known as AI 100, and they have a link to it in this story. The study, written by a panel of AI experts from multiple fields, including healthcare, will continue as an ongoing activity, with periodic reports examining how much AI will touch different aspects of your body. I added that, of daily life. The first of those reports, called Artificial Intelligence and Life in 2030, looks into the effect that AI advancements will have on a typical North American city in a little more than a decade from now. First off, the contrary to more fantastical predictions for AI and popular culture, the study panel found little cause for concern. No, of course they did. Just like GMOs won't ever be dangerous released in our environment, we found nothing to support that. All right, guys. Well, I hate to say it, but guess what? This Friday show is in the bag. Lonnie Clark is live up next. Josh, live at 6. And Anti-Media Radio with Jake, live at 11 p.m. Eastern tonight. Have an awesome Saturday, Sunday. I will catch up with you on Monday.
Wall, and you're listening to me.